Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever been sitting in your house, minding your own business, when all of a sudden you hear a buzzing sound? You squint your eyes and look around, trying to see where the sound is coming from, and boom, you spot it. A giant black fly buzzing around the room. What do you think about flies? If I'm being honest, I don't think about them a lot until one starts buzzing around my room and then I get kind of annoyed. Today's guest has a completely different and very positive opinion about flies. I think that we should hear him out.
People don't have to love flies to appreciate them and to want to protect them. If we don't have them, flies will flourish without us. A million years after the last human walks the earth, there'll be a fly preening her wings on a leaf somewhere. I'm quite confident in saying that. But the reverse is not true. If flies were to disappear, ecosystems would literally collapse into chaos and we'd go down with them.
This is Jonathan Balcombe. He's an author and scientist who studies animal behavior, and one of his study subjects is the fly. Now, the fly might seem like a common, normal bug, but clearly Jonathan believes that these insects are a crucial part of our ecosystem and that we should be paying them a bit more attention.
Flies are hugely important and hugely beneficial to us, the main categories being pollination of plants. You know, 90% of flowering plants are pollinated by insects, and flies rank second only to bees for importance as pollination. In some habitats, particularly high latitudes and altitudes, flies are the predominant pollinators. So we can be thankful to flies as well as bees for the food we eat, and that's a very great benefit.
This pollination is how trees and bushes can make the fruits and vegetables that we enjoy. I guess I've been giving bees all the credit for pollinating plants, while flies have been out there doing their part too. Jonathan also explains that flies help with some of the grosser aspects of being a living creature.
Flies are poop cleaner-uppers, waste disposers. You know, the world would be a lot fouler and more pestilential place if it wasn't for flies to clean up dung and rotting bodies.
Gross. I guess I really need to be grateful for flies.
And then another point to make, really, that's worth making, is their importance in food chains, both as consumers of microorganisms which are unavailable to animals higher up in the food chain. The insects perform a bridge by consuming those microbes and then making them into an edible package, i.e. an insect body. And many, many animals rely critically on insects as a food source.
That's super interesting. Bigger animals can't eat the microbes because they're too small, but they still need those nutrients. Flies eat the microbes, and then bigger animals eat the flies, creating an important link in the food chain that transfers energy all through the ecosystem. Because there are so many flies that are eaten by other animals, that one fly you might see buzzing around your room is actually super lucky to have made it to that point in its life.
Any adult fly we see is a lottery winner. They're just one of the very, very rare ones who survive the stage of being an egg and then have also survived the stage of being a larva, being a maggot. And most of them fall by the wayside. Most of them are consumed by other creatures along the way. They become fodder for other feeders. So it's only the very rare lucky ones, whether they realize it or not, who end up sprouting wings and hatching from a pupa and going about their adult lives as an adult fly with wings.
So, what is life like as an adult fly? Do flies think and feel like humans do?
It's a fascinating, albeit very challenging, question to address. How do we know what another being is experiencing? And the further we move away from our own species on the evolutionary bush, the more challenging it gets. But clever scientists are very inventive at coming up with ways of probing into things like consciousness and awareness and cognition and even emotion. Consider the fruit flies, back to our little fruit fly. They've been used in experiments to show that they have an attention span, that their brain has a burst of activity when it sees a new visual stimulus. And if the stimulus repeats monotonously, the brain doesn't respond as much. It sort of looks like what we call boredom. And then you suddenly introduce a new stimulus and the brain activity bursts forth again. And also there's a distraction effect where we know that if we're really paying attention to something, we may not notice something that we would otherwise notice in our, say, peripheral vision. Flies are the same way. They have this distractibility. So in some of the most fundamental ways of manifestations of consciousness, they do resemble us.
So flies also get bored and distracted? I guess we have more in common than I thought. As much as Jonathan likes flies, he has had a couple experiences that are a bit nasty with the African skin maggot, which is a fly right after it hatches and before it grows its wings.
We were in Kruger Park, South Africa, studying bats, and I had hung some clothing after a sweaty run. I'd hung them on the line thinking I might get away with a second wearing, and one of these flies was attracted to the aroma and laid eggs on those clothes, and when I put them on later, the warmth of my skin stimulated the eggs to hatch and the little maggots burrowed into my skin. And a week later, I thought these mosquito bites that I had were getting a bit itchy and strange, and then I noticed one moving, and I realized I'd read about these parasitic flies that whose maggots feed on our flesh temporarily before hatching out. So yes, I had the dubious honor of being a range extension for an African skin maggot.
Ew, ew, ew. Jonathan was close to winning me over about flies, but that was almost too gross for me. Flies and maggots can sometimes act as parasites or parasitoids. Those terms may sound similar, but Jonathan explains that there's actually a difference.
The parasite is an invader of somebody who steals a resource. It could be blood or a living space, but generally it's a plus-minus relationship. The parasite gains at the expense of the host. However, parasites don't typically kill their hosts. If you kill your source of food, that's not always a good survival strategy. Parasitoids, on the other hand, do kill their host, usually after they've plundered enough resources for their own needs. So a mosquito who scalps you for some blood would be a parasite. A parasitoid would be some kind of parasitic wasp or parasitoidal wasp who bites or stings, I should say, a fruit fly and lays eggs inside the fruit fly maggot or a caterpillar. Those eggs mature, they hatch out. The little baby wasps eat the insides of the caterpillar then and hatch out and pupate, killing the caterpillar. So that last one would be an example of a parasitoid. And I can tell you that flies, certainly quite a few of them are members of one or two categories.
It's a good thing those African skin maggots were parasites and not parasitoids. Even with these less than charming attributes, Jonathan is still determined to convince people that flies are wonderful creatures to have around, especially because there are so many different types of flies.
Flies are so incredibly diverse, 160,000 described species, and a good chance is five times that many that we haven't even found yet. They offer just a wealth of fascinating aspects. I mean, we've already touched on some of the ways that they benefit us through being pollinators and cleaner-uppers and important members of food chains. But they are also... Some of them are stunningly beautiful. I mean, it's ironic that a group of flies with the least appetizing lifestyle, the blowflies, which are attracted to dung and poop and rotting bodies, some of them are just, you know, the metallic sheen, beautiful shine of blue, yellow, or gold, or green. There's even a fly called the Beyoncé fly for having a bright yellow abdomen, a very beautiful fly named for the pop singer. There's some really charismatic flies out there.
Jonathan enjoys watching these charismatic flies to learn more things about their behaviors. For instance, he sometimes runs into midges, which are teeny tiny flies that hover together in giant swarms by bodies of water.
When I go biking down along the bay of Lake Ontario here this time of year, I have to wear my sunglasses even if it's late in the evening because I encounter huge, huge swarms of midges of various species, and they're dancing up and down, like really rapid flight in these up and down or sometimes side to side flights. And those are courtship swarms, and courtship can get quite elaborate in flies with singing by fanning with the wings at high speeds and making different tones. And as I say, fanning the wings to possibly push some nice pheromones, some nice perfumes towards the prospective mate. Dancing, males will fight each other. There are some kinds of flies called dance flies where males, these are predatory flies, they'll catch another insect, often a fly, and kill it, and then the male will offer it to the female. She's predatory and he wants to avoid being the proverbial praying mantis husband where he might get his head bitten off and get eaten as food for the female. So if by giving her a gift, it's thought that he buys time to have the mating without losing his own life. And some species, they actually wrap it in a silk wrapping as part of the gift-giving process, which probably also buys him even more time, and maybe it pleases the female all the more.
For Jonathan, watching flies and their interactions with one another have convinced him that they are incredible creatures worthy of our interest and also our respect. So while my first instinct might be to swat at a fly zooming around my apartment, Jonathan would ask us to try something different.
It feels good to do a good deed. For me anyway, and I have a lot of friends who are the same way, rescuing any animal feels good. This morning, I happened to be on my bike riding in my neighborhood, and I saw a little baby turtle next to the road. He or she had crawled out, had probably hatched the day before, and was sitting there on rapidly warming pavement, not knowing what to do, probably hears cars go by and is afraid and gets paralyzed. So I picked the turtle up, and there was a wetland nearby, and I took the turtle to the wetland, and of course I took photos for Facebook posts later, and I let the turtle go in the wetland. And when I let that turtle go, it gives me such a good feeling. It's like an injection of endorphins. And so I use that as a setup for the feeling I get when I rescue an insect. I get insects, flies and beetles and other bugs who end up in my window. You know, how they find their way in, maybe they stick to my clothes when I'm biking and they come in on my clothes. But for whatever reason, you know, an ant on my couch, yeah, you can squash them or you can kill them some other way. But I have a plastic container and a little cardboard thing and a lid all ready to go. It only takes me a minute to get the insect and trot downstairs and let him go outside. It just gives me a good feeling. So I appeal to people. Try it. See how it goes. Instead of killing or squashing something, not only do you not have a mess, but you have this great feeling of liberating someone. I feel like a little piece of my soul goes with that insect when I let them go.
All right, Jonathan, I think you've convinced me. Flies are such important parts of our ecosystem, and there's something incredible in all that they've overcome. So the next time you see a fly buzzing around your house, try to help it escape out the window. It's always fun to experience a moment of wonder with a different creature, no matter how small.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.